Take your Bible with me tonight and go to the book of Psalms and chapter 23. Here is one of the most beloved Psalms in all of the Bible, and I want to look at it with us tonight. And so beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." No other passage of Scripture matches the simplicity and the sophistication of this short psalm. Charles Spurgeon said, "Of this delightful song, it may be affirmed that its piety and its poetry are equal. Its sweetness and spirituality are unsurpassed." Perhaps you can quote the psalm, but have you ever claimed the psalm? When I was in college, I had a professor by the name of Richard Weeks. Dr. Weeks was quite short in stature, and he was the academic dean at the college and taught a number of classes. Sometime after I graduated, his wife passed away with cancer. Dr. Weeks, under that stress of losing his wife, began to experience some mini strokes. In fact, by the time he passed away, the doctors had said that he perhaps had had as many as 200 of these mini strokes. Each time I would stop to see him at the hospital or the rest home where he resided, it seemed like those strokes would take a little bit more of his mind or a little bit more of his abilities physically. One day my pastor called and said, "John, Dr. Weeks is not doing well. His daughter says he has maybe a day or two to live." He said, "Let's meet at the hospital and see him one more time." I drove to Freeport, Illinois from my meetings where I was preaching, and my pastor drove from the church, and we met there at that hospital, and his daughter Ruth met us in the lobby, and as we were going up the elevator, she said, "Now, Pastor, Brother Getch, Dad is in pretty bad shape. He can't acknowledge you anymore. He can't close his eyes or blink his eyes in response. He can't squeeze your hand. But," she said, "he'll know you're there. He'll know your presence. He just can't respond." We walked into the room, and there was Dr. Weeks lying on his right side in sort of a fetal position. He was staring straight out the bed rail of that hospital bed. The pastor and I, we knelt down in his eyesight there by that bed. We greeted him. We said hello. We made a little bit of small talk. His eyes never shifted. They never blinked. He just stared straight ahead. We both kind of looked at each other like, does he really know that we're here? Somewhat of at a loss for words, after a time, my pastor, he took his New Testament and the book of Psalms out of his pocket, and he said, "Dr. Weeks, let me read you your favorite scripture." He opened his Bible, and I'm not sure he actually got to Psalm 23 because he was able to quote it. My pastor began with that first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And by the time he finished that very first verse of this psalm, tears began to well up in the eyes of Dr. Weeks and began to spill onto that pillow on that bed. I thought as I knelt there, the psalm is ministering to him. The psalm is speaking to his heart, though he is in the final moments of his life. This psalm is still bringing comfort and peace to his life. My prayer is that tonight you and I will be able to not only know the psalm, perhaps even by memory, but we will know the shepherd in a greater way and claim the promises that are contained in this wonderful little psalm. Now, in order to understand Psalm 23, I believe it's important to make three important observations. First of all, I want you to think with me about the proper perspective of the psalm. The placement of this psalm, I believe, is very significant, for Psalm 22, the psalm that precedes it, is a messianic psalm that describes the death of Jesus Christ. You see, no one can experience peace without the pardon for sin. No one can really know salvation unless they know the one who suffered in their place to provide that salvation. And in chapter 22, we read of the shepherd's separation. The Psalm 22 begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cried unto thee in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. You see, our sin tonight separates us from God. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he will not hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face far from you that he will not hear. It is our sin that separates us from God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, had to suffer a separation from his Father in order to reconcile us back to God. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. So we see the shepherd's separation. The psalmist in chapter 22 goes on to speak of the shepherd's sacrifice. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man, despised of the people. All they that pass by shoot out the lip. They mock, saying, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him if he'll have him. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melteth in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, for thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Many dogs have enclosed me. The assembly of the wicked have encircled me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They stare and look upon me. They parted my raiment among them and cast lots for my garments. You see the separation of the shepherd. We see the sacrifice of the shepherd. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross in Psalm 22 is a proper perspective to the care of the shepherd in chapter 23. So it's important that we observe the perspective of Psalm 23. But notice secondly today, the personal pronouns of Psalm 23. Let me read it again with a little bit of different emphasis. The psalmist writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The personal pronouns of the psalm. You see, there's an obvious relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. In John 10 and verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. an obvious relationship. And this is a personal relationship. You see, Christianity is not a religion or a regiment. It is a relationship. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It is a personal relationship, but it is also a pleasing relationship. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The psalmist in chapter 16 said, "In my presence is fullness of joy." I meet people sometimes who say, "Oh man, you Christians, you've got it hard. I mean, you can't do this and you can't do that and all the requirements of the Bible." Oh, listen, friend. The Bible tells me the way of the transgressor is hard. God's way is not hard. God's way is a pleasing way. The way of the transgressor is difficult. It's hard to kick against the pricks. But when you come to Christ, you have a personal relationship. You have a pleasing relationship. And best of all, it is a perpetual relationship. The best part about our relationship with Jesus Christ is that it never ends. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father that gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Oh, the personal pronouns of Psalm 23. But as we observe this psalm, we see the proper perspective, and we see the personal pronouns. But now let's dig in to the promised provisions of this psalm. And oh, there are many, and so let's study them tonight. The promised provisions of Psalm 23. We see the promise of resources in verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd." Do you understand that this is in the present tense? The Lord is my shepherd. He is today our shepherd. He is caring for us right now. He is guiding us right now. He is watching over our life this very moment. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we are always under the pastoral care of the chief shepherd, of the Jehovah God. The Lord is, and because He is my shepherd, I shall not want. This shepherd provides all of the resources that I need. He provides the temporal things. He provides those material things. He says in Matthew chapter 6, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Oh, aren't you glad that God can take care of our physical needs? But God can also take care of our spiritual needs. Paul learned that God's grace was always sufficient for every need. And whatever we're going through spiritually, God is able to meet that need and be that resource in our life. God is able to meet our emotional needs. He says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You see, God is our resource, and we see the promise of His resources here. "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We see the resources that are provided. But notice also the promise of rest. In verse 2, He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." God understands the pace of life. God understands the exhaustions, the exasperations. He understands the fatigue. He understands the faltering, the falling that we often experience in our life. And the Bible says here that God promises rest. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The promise of rest. But notice next the promise of refreshment. In the latter part of verse 2, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures. He makes us lie down, but then he takes us to the still waters as well. The promise of refreshment. If you know anything about sheep, their mouth and their teeth are such that they can nibble the grass of a pasture down to the very dirt. And once a flock of sheep goes through a pasture and they've eaten all the grass, it looks like there's nothing there. It looks completely barren. It looks completely brown. But God makes his sheep lie down in green pastures. He leads his sheep beside the still waters. Again, if you know something about sheep, you know that a sheep will not drink out of running water. They must have water that is absolutely still. And our good shepherd is one who refreshes us with the bread of life. He refreshes us with the water of life. All of the refreshment that we need is right here in the very Word of God. As Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Oh, the promise of refreshment. But then I see next the promise of restoration. In verse 3, he goes on to say, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. When our soul is sorrowful, he revives it. When our soul is sinful, he sanctifies it. When our soul is weak, he strengthens it. God is the restorer of our soul. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation, the psalmist said. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. But then we see next the promise of resolution. In verse number 3, he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God did not design us as sheep merely to lie around in some green pastures. God did not design us just to simply wade in some still waters from time to time. No, he has placed us on a journey, and it's a journey of righteousness. It's a journey of holiness. Oh, that may not seem all that attractive to us. In fact, that may seem difficult at times, the path of righteousness, the path of doing what's right, the path of living for Jesus Christ every day, day in and day out, may seem difficult and hard. But notice he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a privilege it is to walk, as John said, even as he walked. To follow in his footsteps. What a privilege. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. What a privilege to walk as he walked. We next see the promise of resilience in verse number 4. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I want you to notice here the word walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a walk. When we come to that phase of time that's called death, we don't have to hurry our step. We don't have to be anxious in that moment. We don't have to halt our steps in fear of what's ahead. No, we can walk calmly, composed. We can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, for the child of God, death is not the house, but the porch. Death is not the destination, but the street. The shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of a dog cannot bite me. The shadow of a sword cannot hurt me. And the shadow of death cannot destroy me. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The promise of resilience all the way to the very end. Then we see the promise of readiness in verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Moses' rod and David's staff were both ensigns of God's sovereign rule and government. Isn't it a comfort to know in these days in which we live that God is still on the throne? Aren't you glad that God is still ruling over this world? I'm glad that God is not quarantined. God is not sequestered. God is not shuttered in. No, God is at work every single day. He is readying us right now for the next steps in our life. And whatever we as sheep may be going through, it is only to ready us for that which is coming down the path. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Then we see the promise of resolve in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What an amazing thought that is. In the midst of a battle, in the midst of ammunition flying over my head, God says, come over here and sit down. Enjoy a meal. I'm preparing you a table in the presence of your enemies. Oh, the enemy may be beating at your door tonight. The enemy may be about to break into your life and do destruction. But God says, don't worry. Come and sit down. Let's fellowship. Let's enjoy a meal. I've prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. There's no reason to worry. There's no reason to be disturbed. There's no reason to be confused. You can be resolved in the midst of conflict. You can be resolved in the midst of chaos. Why? Because you have a shepherd that is preparing a table before you in the hour of battle, in the midst of trying circumstances. He prepares a table of all that we need to meet that challenge. Oh, listen, in these days that are somewhat difficult, this is not a time to retreat. This is not a time to back away. This is a time to be resolved. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Next, we see the promise of renewal in verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. Oil in the Old Testament was symbolic or a type of the Holy Spirit. And we understand the importance of that Holy Spirit's power in our life today. It is that Holy Spirit that renews us, in the Word of God, in the truth of God, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. When He has come, Jesus said, He will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, the reason God gave the Holy Spirit to us in this time period that we live in is to guide us, to give us that grace, to give us that strength to go through the times that we're in, the promise of renewal. But then I see the promise of reserves. In the last phrase of verse 5, He says, my cup runneth over. God always gives us more than enough. My cup runneth over. God doesn't just put a little bit in the cup. He doesn't put just a cup half full in front of us. No, the Bible says here, my cup runneth over. Have you ever noticed that humanly speaking, whatever you put in the cup, it's never enough? Have you ever noticed that no matter how much money you have, eventually your money is gone? You ever notice that how, no matter how stocked your cupboards may be, eventually they become empty? No matter how much money you might have in the bank, it eventually runs out. But not with God. He says, my cup runneth over. Oh, the world has a lot of things it tries to give us. The world has a lot of things it tries to satisfy us with. But God says, consider your ways. You sow much, but you bring in little. You eat, but there's none full. You drink, but there's none filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. You see, the world's cup has holes. The world's cup, no matter how much you pour in, it just falls out. But not with God. His cup is not cracked. His cup is not going to leak. His cup runs over with his blessings. God supplies and runs over. Then we see the promise of reinforcement in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Again, Spurgeon called these the twin guardian angels that God has given us, goodness and mercy. Always at my back, always at my beck. Goodness and mercy. During the black days, during the bright days. During the feasting days, during the fasting days. Goodness and mercy. Mercy to forgive my sin. Goodness to supply my needs. The promise of reinforcement. And then finally, the promise of reward. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let that sink in. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, as a Christian, I'm always home. This whole world is my Father's house. And when I die, I'm not changing houses. I'm not even changing family. I'm just moving upstairs. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What promises God has given to us in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? If not, would you ask him to be your shepherd tonight? And if he is your shepherd, would you not just quote the psalm? Would you claim Psalm 23 as yours tonight? The Lord is my shepherd. Father, thank you for this sweet yet sophisticated Psalm 23. Thank you for the promises it gives to us. May we claim them tonight. May we live them. And if someone listening to this broadcast tonight who does not know you as Savior, oh, may tonight they come to know the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd by placing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray it in your name. Amen.